Sports Drive back here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99 1 FM. Joining the program is Brent Beard, college football analyst for First Coast News, also co-host of College Sports Today on Sports Radio, 930 AM in Jacksonville. Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine and excited about next week and being at SEC Media Days. That will begin a week from today, and that will be really one of the highlights of the year. It's really one of the beginning points of, to me, of the season in a lot of ways. So that will be tremendous just to be able to see the coaches. Dan Mullen is the first one that we will hear from, and they've got it either three coaches or four coaches depending on the day. Ed Orgeron and Shane Beamer makes his first appearance before the SEC brethren and sistren during that time, so can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to everything that everybody has to say. Is there anything that you look is it just a big deal because you know the college football season is one step closer to really being here that gets you as fired up for it? Or is it also just being able to have that access to the coaches and being able to ask them and get an understanding for things that have happened in the spring, what they're looking forward to in the fall, and some of the expectations that may be there for those programs?
It's really both. And I would also include being able to be around other sports writers and sports media is something that is tremendous too. The coaches aren't going to tell you a lot. I've always thought that they ought to have one less player and bring more of the coordinators, frankly. I think that would make a huge difference. But all in all, and if you try, you can get a lot of new information, frankly. I mean, you how are guys who were injured? Are they healthy? Tell us about some of the transfers. I mean, they're just a lot of things like that make media days so much fun, frankly.
Hey, Brent, this is Jeffrey D. You know, you mentioned access to coaches and players. It seems to me that, you know, you get, you know, a 2 or 3 minute soundbite out of the coaches and then almost a, you know, 3 or 4 minute soundbite out of the players. Whenever I go to the internet, I find more information from you guys talking on the side to these guys.
Yes.
Than I do with just that interview.
Well, that to me is what you call the conversation in the hallways. Is what you really find out. I mean, that one of the things I like to do when I'm there is to get some of these beat writers off of the side and just ask them things. You find out a lot more information doing that. Yeah, these coaches are not going to tell you much. Now, every now and then you get some that you can get more from than others, frankly. I mean, if you listen to Saban for a while, he'll tell you an amazing amount of stuff. It doesn't sound like he is, but if you listen closely, he will. Some others are almost a waste of time. Kind of have to filter all of that through here, but you put all that together and it's well worth going.
Yeah, most definitely, and we will. I don't know if Chad and I we'll do our best to get out there. If not, then we'll be able to pull some audio for sure. In terms of you mentioned Dan Mullen, Brent, who needs a bigger year more? And I know that I might be wrong for putting Dan Mullen in this conversation because he just has come off a really solid year, but Ed Orgeron or Jimbo Fisher, or maybe throw Dan Mullen in that conversation. Do you think it's pivotal for Ed Orgeron to have a bounce back year with LSU, or more pivotal that Jimbo Fisher tries to get the most out of that Texas A&M team? That obviously, with him talking about it, it's time for him to be about it in College Station.
Maybe more Ed Orgeron right now. They really struggled last year. They've got the investigation going on, and that's not going to help them either by any stretch of imagination. Again, people need to realize this is a Title IX investigation. This is not Will Wade being hounded by the NCAA for giving a recruit money. This is serious stuff where he could lose his job. So I think there's a lot of pressure on there with him. I mean, Jimbo, frankly, has got and done a good job with that program. You know, when can they win? The division is going to be the big thing there as far as that goes. And I think the thing with Mullen is more they did not end well. I mean, they did go in Atlanta. They did come closer to Alabama than anybody. But still, I mean, the LSU debacle, the Orange Bowl game, that was ridiculous. So I think that left a bad taste in Gator fans' mouth.
Yeah, I think this is interesting, too. I know you and I really like the preseason magazines, and Phil Steele is the one that really comes out with, I guess, the biggest, if you will, the most in-depth preview for the season. He's got the Gators in his – the way he does his rankings is really unique. The preseason rankings for him, he takes the way that he thinks they'll finish the year and then pegs them in order of that list. He has Florida at 27th on that list. Did you find that intriguing, or do you understand why he may put them down there?
I think it's basically – just some of the unknowns, particularly at on the offense. I mean, I think eventually the offense will be good, but the problem now is we had no clue what to expect. And I know Mullen's happy about that, but we didn't have a spring game, and because of that, left us no real clue on how just what Emory Jones can do. So, I mean, when you're looking at all that, I think that leaves enough question marks. I can tell you this. I think if they were happy about, and you had more experience for the quarterback in Emory Jones, if it's going to be Emory Jones, that – I think would have persuaded Phil to probably go a little bit further with his predictions and picking him higher. So, but right now with that left, and you've got JT Daniels coming back for Georgia, and what's perceived as a better roster. I mean, it could be a better roster. I think. If some of these transfers come out for Auburn, particularly on the defensive for Florida, particularly from Auburn and Penn State on the defensive line. So, but right now, that's kind of where Phil goes. It was a bit surprising because I think pretty much everybody else had Florida at least in the top 20, if not the top 15.
Brent, hey, this is Jeffrey D. And I think you're absolutely right. Phil historically has built his magazine and his predictions based on returning starters and returning impact players. But I think he might be off a little bit this year because obviously the Gators have a lot of players that are very, very talented. Some of his running backs that we haven't even seen yet that are five-star guys,
right.
You know, haven't played. And so, you know, I'm thinking that Phil's probably off a little bit. Sometimes he's overrated the Gators, but this time I think he's underrated them. But, you know, back to that quarterback question, And you sounded a little bit indecisive whenever Drew mentioned, you know, Emory Jones, because Anthony Richardson is, seems like the real deal if you talk to the Railbirds down there in Gainesville.
Yeah. Look, would it shock you if Anthony Richardson won that job? It wouldn't me, frankly. We know Emory Jones can, on third and three, run and get a first down, but do we know that he can be accurate in his throwing? That's something we just don't know. And when we have seen Richardson, the little it's been, he probably has got the bigger arm and is maybe more accurate. So, at this point, I'm not ruling anything out. Is it possible that by midseason, Richardson could be the quarterback? I think you have to say that it is. Look, I'm not disputing the fact that Jones can't be pretty good, and I think he probably can. There are still way too many unknowns with this offense. And you mentioned the running backs a few minutes ago. The strength of this offense are the running backs.
Yeah, certainly it's an intriguing year for Florida, given what they lost in trying to keep that momentum going forward. Last question for you, Brent. We're about 12 days now into name, image, and likeness. What are your overall thoughts with what we've seen? We've seen a lot of action. What things do you like about it? What things concern you maybe through these first 12 days or so?
I think the partnership stuff would be how it's helped women. It's giving them some possibilities they probably would have never had. There are a lot of, I don't know if there are that many concerns as much as it's that there are that many question marks about it. There's so many things we still just don't know about where this thing could go. I think it has some positivity to it, and it could certainly be helpful, but all in all, right now, we're seeing some of these players come up with their own plans, but they're going to have to perform to stay with it. Look, the thing that is realistic here, they get the greatest plan in the world. But the problem is they get in a brawl at a bar and get arrested. And some of these companies may decide, look, we're not real sure this is what we want to do here and continue this NIL. So it went through its week of popularity and frankly will be very interesting to see if people are talking about this the way they are now in a few weeks.
Most definitely. Well, Brent, thank you for the time, and a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Good. Take care, guys.